The day I moved down to London was the day that everything changed. Before that, I knew nothing, I'd done nothing, and I'd been nowhere. Then my mum and dad saw me on the coach at South Shields, and I went all the way down south by myself to live with my cousin Tricia. It was January 1972, and down in London, it was a completely different world.
Hey, I can't let you go. You're still my baby girl.
She's a grown woman of 18, Winnie. You've got to let her discover her own destiny, man.
Oh, man, don't cry. The furthest south I'd ever been was a school trip to Whitby. This journey seemed to last for hours, and I was getting more and more nervous. I was sick in me bag with me packed lunch and me hand-knitted scarf in. I had to wash it out at the nearest motorway services, and I'd never felt so alone before, with sick in me hair somewhere south of Birmingham. Then I went to the little shop and I bought myself a bag of opal fruits, and at the magazine rack, I saw his face. It was on a cover of a brand new poster magazine called Annabelle. Those dreamy eyes were somehow staring straight through me into vistas that were breathtaking and most likely intergalactic. The purple eyeshadow and the black lipstick, the silver moons and golden stars on his skin, the fuchsia slash of his cheekbones. Oh, I had to have this mag. In those days, I had to have anything with his name on it. Vince Cosmos, the greatest glam rocker the world would ever know. And a man who turned out to be so much more than even that, as I was about to find out. It was a very grubby bus station by the River Thames. The driver threw open the boot and was hooking out everyone's cases with a long pole while we stood in the chilly wind. I'd borrowed one of me mum's blue leatherette cases she'd had for years.
Poppy? Poppy Monday?
Tricia? Oh, you look so different.
I thought you would lose your nerve. I could hardly believe it when I rang Auntie Pam and she said you'd left and were on your way. We're gonna have a great time, pet. Wait till you see the flat.
Tricia must have been doing all right for herself, because she insisted on splashing out on a taxi. As we zoomed along, I caught glimpses of fancy shops. Swish antiques outside dark windows, boutiques with swirling painted signs and haughty dummies striking strange poses. The pedestrians dashing by seemed smarter, flashier than the people I was used to. They wore beautiful clothes and their hairstyles were perfect. London stretched out in every direction, and I felt like the whole place was like a film set. Or better than that, it was like being in an advert. I was in an advert for a better, sparklier life than the one I'd known so far. I was in an advert for my own fantastic forthcoming life. It looks so upmarket, isn't it too expensive?
Oh, it's not the whole house. We just got the third floor. Two beds and a sitting room and a tiny kitchenette. But we have got a little rooftop garden, believe it or not. Grow a few pots in. And we've got a view of the high street. Well, kind of. And believe it or not, when you start work and bringing in cash, we can just about afford the rent.
Just about?
We'll be fine. We'll manage.
Tricia helped me to struggle upstairs with my gargantuan case and was just demonstrating how to deal with all the locks on the front door when the inhabitant of the attic flat came downstairs grumbling at us. He was a funny kind of dwarf with a very large lumpy head and golden strands of thin and greasy hair. He was wearing a mushy pea-coloured suit and jumbo cord, and I couldn't be sure, but it sounded like he said something absolutely filthy as he went by.
Don't take any notice of him. That's just Mr. Glister, the horrible old toad who lives in the attic.
Treasure?
Shh. Here we are, lovey. Your new home.
Oh, it's lovely, Treasure. The walls had been freshly painted white, and there were some rubber plants about and a few pop posters on the walls. The three-piece in its yellow velveteen upholstery was shabby and the coffee table was scuffed, but all in all, it was comfy enough.
Here, listen to this. Remember this?
Oh, I've gone off all that soul kind of stuff.
Oh, what do you like? Can't hate each other's music if we're sharing digs.
While Trisha danced about the front room, I opened up my suitcase and I got out the two albums I permitted myself to bring.
Vince Cosmos?
What's wrong with him?
Oh, I can't stick him. I think he's creepy. All that makeup, all that going on daft about being a spaceman and everything. Why can't he just get on and sing a decent song?
He's got lots of songs, lovely songs. And he's in the charts.
Well, I better put the kettle on. Brew?
It took me a few days to find my feet and get me bearings. Trisha went out each day to work at a coffee bar on the King's Road and I was left to settle in. The daytimes were quiet in that house. The landlady and her husband went out to work and sometimes it was just me. And that strange little man from the attic. I bumped into him on the stairs a number of times in those early days in Fulham.
Get out of my way, girl. Christ almighty!
Oh, sorry.
Oh, great galumphing ninny!
That time he was being all shifty and carrying something weird. Like a silvery, sheeny outfit. Then he bolted past me up to his attic.
Oh, don't go fretting about our Mr. Glister, dear. I wouldn't waste your energy on him.
This was Mrs. Fairbanks, our new landlady. She often popped up to our place for a coffee and a ciggy and a chat. She was a tall, rather mannish woman, plastered in makeup and fond of kimonos and trouser suits in man-made fibres. She had a kind heart, though.
He's not very sociable, but he's prompt with his rent. I'll say that for him. Bit of a UFO spotter.
Oh, what, Mrs. Fairbanks?
Oh, call me Gilda, dear. Oh, yes, he's got a whopping great telescope sticking out of the skylight. Very keen on the sky at night, our Mr. Glister. Well, as I always say, whatever turns you on. We're very liberal around here, dear. Well, except for my husband, Brian. He isn't.
I think I'll keep out of Mr. Glister's way.
You want to get out and meet some nice young men? You've got the whole world before you. Not like me, dear. You listen to one who knows. Don't waste a precious second of your youth, ducky.
Trisha was talking about throwing a party.
Oh, in here, dear.
Unless you'd mind, of course.
Course not. But you must invite me. And it mustn't get too wild, I suppose.
It was the next night and I was going downstairs to borrow a cupful of sugar from the Fairbanks and to deliver their invitation to our party when I heard Mr. Glister using the payphone in the downstairs hallway. I didn't want to go sneaking past him and so I couldn't help hanging back and listening in.
It's her. You were right, dead right. She's the one.
So we can put the next bit of the plan into action, right?
I'll contact the office, sort out the invitations and stuff. We're just in time, aren't we?
To act speedily on this, Mr. Glister.
Look, boss, when we sort all this out and she's, you know, dealt with and that, can I move out of this rotten dump? I'm sick of it here. The landlady keeps giving me the glad eye. Yeah, who's that? Were you listening, girl? That was a private phone call.
I hadn't been able to make out the whole conversation or the voice at the other end from my hiding place on the staircase. But that dwarf's voice had been so sinister, it gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Here, you all right?
That little man gives me the willies.
Oh, never mind him. Look, tea's nearly done. I made fish fingers.
Trisha was great, to start with. But I couldn't blame her for getting fed up with me as the days went by.
How are you getting on with the job hunting, Poppy?
The truth was, I hadn't been out anywhere, let alone out looking for work. I'd got into a bit of a slump. All that confidence I'd felt at the start had faded away. London seemed to be such a big and frightening place.
You've been in here all day, haven't you? Mooning about.
Oh, I'm sorry, Trish. I...
Bugger it, you haven't even done the breakfast dishes.
I think I might have the flu.
Don't give me that, Poppy Monday. Now you better pull yourself together. You've got to start pulling your weight round here. Otherwise...
I went to have a lie down for a bit, completely miserable. Trisha was going on at me like she was me mum. I blocked my ears. And then, just after 7 o'clock, she came banging on the door.
Here, Puffy Pants, come and see this. Your boyfriend's about to be on the telly.
My boyfriend?
He's on Smashing Tunes.
I'd just about forgotten. I leapt out from under my continental quilt and raced to the sofa. Trisha was laughing at me desperation to see him.
I wish you were as keen on getting out and finding work.
Shh!
Now then, here he is, the man himself. Here he is, girls and boys, it's Mr. Vince Cosmos!
He was in a fur coat, black PVC trousers and huge stack-heeled boots. He wore a fedora at a jaunty angle, and under the brim you could see that his face was beautifully painted with silver stars.
Now then, Vince, it's great to have you on the show again, you see.
It's a pleasure to be here, Timmy.
Now, this record of yours, I have it right here, you see.
It's in the shops on Monday, Timmy. Kissing the Zeitgeist.
And you've got concerts coming up, haven't you?
Yeah, we're doing a few shows. Hammersmith and the Royal Variety coming up, yeah.
Wow-wee, the Royal Variety. And how do you think Her Majesty will like your Space Age tunes?
I'm sure she'll like them just fine, Timmy.
Oh, that DJ's such an idiot.
I was going to say the same thing about your fella. He looks stoned. What is he dressed like?
Well, let's hear the new song again. Now, here he is, boys and girls, the Electric Space Invader himself, Mr. Vince Cosmos.
Vince came onto the stage and perched himself elegantly on a stool in a fog of luminous dry ice. And when he sang his new song, it was as if he was singing it for me. Party, it turned out that Trisha's friends were a with-it lot. There was nothing shy or buttoned up about them. There were all kinds of ages too, not just a bunch of kids. There were some older people who were at college, and others who worked at boutiques and things. And as I went from group to group, I was thinking, I am going to be one of these people. Just dead natural. Belonging here, in the centre of the universe. Mrs. Fairbanks came in, wearing a green dress and some kind of floaty gossamer material. She had my lawn dad's scarf with her, all folded up neatly, and this brought a lump to my throat because it's just what my mum would have done.
Don't look so glum, ducky. It's a party, isn't it?
Yeah. Welcome to our do, Mrs. Fairbanks.
Like I say, it's Gilda, dear. This is my Brian. Bless him.
I hope you're not going to let this fandango go on all night, are you?
Oh, go and get us some drinks, you misery guts. Oh, isn't he awful?
There's a lot of dolly birds about up here. Those skirts they've got on, they'll catch their death. Shouldn't be allowed.
Oh, never mind him, dear. My, I do like what you've done with this place. Oh, it looks quite homely.
Thank you.
But, well, we must have a word about the rent, dear. It's due, you see. Well, overdue, actually. And I hate to ask.
We'll get it for you. I'm going to get a job, Gilda, I promise. I was sure I could get a job dead easy down here in London, what with living so close to the King's Road and all. Maybe a fancy department store. Because back in the north I'd worked in lingerie. I pictured myself on some elegant shop floor helping ladies try on hats. I resolved to find work as soon as I could. But then something happened that took my mind off all that. Something completely hideous happened. What's that you're cooking?
Vesta chow mein. Come and sit down.
It smells very exotic. What is it? Chinese?
Oh, turn it bloody down, will you?
I'm trying it.
Oh, can't we have something nice on?
I saw it in the Radio Times. Vince Cosmos in concert, broadcasting live from Hammersmith Odeon.
I wish I had the time to lie about reading the Radio Times.
Got it.
Oh, for Christ's sake, sit down and eat your bloody tea. Sweating over these crispy noodles.
Oh, listen. He's talking.
You're amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It'll go cold.
Shh.
You know, it isn't easy, this, my job, my role here on Earth. There are things, forces, that make it difficult to be me, to be here singing to you. But here I am, because of your love, your devotion.
Isn't he amazing?
Talks a load of rubbish, if you ask me.
With the last breath in my body, I will defy the galactic space gods in order to be here on Earth among you all, to bring you my music and the truth about what's really going on at a cosmic level.
Oh, what is he on about?
Oh, Trisha, please. Oh, this is from his new album. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
What the?
What was that?
By the sound of it, someone's gone and shot it?
He can't be dead. He just can't be.
Oh, my love, I heard the news.
He can't be dead.
Who are you trying to phone, dear?
The BBC. But the switchboard's jammed. I just want to know the latest.
You should watch the news. There's bound to be something on there about it. Look, it's on in a couple of minutes. I'll take you back upstairs, make you a nice cup of tea for shock. Lots of sugar.
You must think I'm mad.
Not at all, love. Oh, I know what it's like. It's as if you really know him, isn't it? Like he's one of the family. Oh, you should have seen me over Johnny Ray all those years ago. Here you go, back upstairs. I'm sure he's all right, though.
Upstairs, Trisha wasn't as sympathetic as Gilda Fairbanks.
Oh, it'll all be some gimmick, big publicity stunt. He's just wanting a lot of attention for his rubbishy new song. This is the best way of getting it.
Well, I think he's marvellous. And Poppy's just a kind-hearted soul who hasn't got a cynical bone in her body. Not like you, Trisha, dear.
Oh, shall I open those ginger biscuits and make another brew?
When the news came on at last, it turned out that the Vince Cosmos shooting was top story.
The pop singer Vince Cosmos has tonight been the victim of a shooting in London. The entertainer, renowned for his outrageous stage costumes and glam rock sound, was performing live on stage this evening at the Hammersmith Odeon when the event took place.
Must be nothing else happening in the world.
An official police spokesman has told the BBC that the armed assassin stole inside the theatre with the crowds, disguised as an ordinary pop music fan. The assassin is in police custody and the Hammersmith Odeon has been evacuated. Mr. Cosmos himself has been rushed to hospital by ambulance and is said to be in a stable condition at present time.
Oh, he's stable. Oh, did you hear that, Poppy?
What does that mean?
It means he's all right.
Yeah, maybe.
Our reporter was on the scene outside the London hospital where Mr. Cosmos's manager, Arthur Corns, gave a brief statement for the press.
Could you let us know more about what has happened tonight?
I am saddened and appalled by what has transpired at the Hammersmith Odeon. This has been an act of brutality and wickedness perpetrated against one of the rising stars of the British entertainment industry.
Mr. Corns, how is Vince doing? What condition is he in?
He's doing well. It's a miracle that he's still alive. But he'll be all right, his doctor has told me.
Who do you think would commit such a dreadful act?
How should I know? There are some proper loonies out there, aren't there?
Did he have any enemies? Anyone with a grudge against him?
No more questions now, please. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all. That was our reporter on the scene outside the hospital where tonight, pop singer Vince Cosmos lies fighting for his life.
The switchboards at the BBC and those at Vince's record company, Hell for Leather Enterprises, were completely jammed that night and for days afterwards. There were endless calls from concerned, weeping, hysterical fans, as well as from appalled radio listeners disgusted at such a tasteless publicity gimmick. But I knew that it was no gimmick. You could tell it was all too real just by looking at the face of that manager of his. He had looked so shocked. No. This was the real thing. Somebody had wanted Vince Cosmos dead.
Oh, he's gonna be all right, see? The man said he's okay.
Well, I'm surprised it was for real. Maybe they're just saying that to cover up.
They'll try again. If they've tried and failed once, they'll try again. But who would want him dead? What's he done to anyone?
Oh, people can be bloody jealous, love. Oh, no. I used to do a little singing down at the Nag's Head when I was younger. Just a couple of show tunes and old favourites. My sister Alice used to play the piano and we'd put on a show for the regulars. Anyway, I got some right catty comments from some people. You see, they don't like anyone shoving themselves forward. It's not how you're meant to be in this country. They don't like showy types.
He's so weird, that's what it is. He attracts the weirdos, the loonies. That's a very dangerous thing to do.
It was like a vigil that night. I put on his two albums again and again, and we listened in to the later bulletins on the radio to see if there'd been any further news.
The latest from the police in the case of the attempted assassination of renowned pop performer Vince Cosmos is that they're still questioning the subject apprehended in the act of fleeing from the Hammersmith Odeon. Pop fans have gathered outside the hospital where Vince Cosmos is receiving treatment.
What does Vince Cosmos mean to you?
He's just everything, isn't he? He's just the most important man on planet Earth at this moment because he knows the truth, don't he? And he's the zeitgeist and stuff.
It's a conspiracy to silence him. He knows too much.
And how do you feel about the possibility that his wounds may prove fatal?
No, he can't die. He just can't. He has to get out of there and marry me. I love him. I love him!
The news about Vince was as good as could be expected.
A statement from the hospital itself confirms that the rock and roll singer's skull was merely grazed by a bullet from the handgun, which was fired at him by the assailant in the audience. The singer, who rose to fame last summer with his number two hit, Angel Dust, is said to be stable for the time being and sleeping naturally.
You should get yourself to bed as well, Poppy.
How can I? After what's gone on? When he's lying there in some hospital, probably hooked up to machines and all sorts.
Oh, but you don't know him or anything. It's not like he's a relation of yours or anything.
I can still care, can't I?
Oh, I think you're crazy.
Oh, just leave me alone, will you, Tricia?
There has been a bizarre turn of events following last night's failed assassination attempt on the infamous glam rock popular singer Vincent Cosmos. Police have reported that the suspect they are detaining for questioning has vanished from the cells of the police station in Hammersmith.
At 6:30 this morning, when the sergeant went down to the cells to rouse the apprehended suspect, it was discovered that said suspect had vanished into thin air by means at this point in time unknown. All possible attempts to reincarcerate the would-be assassin are being strenuously made by my officers as we speak.
The police were unable to make any further comment on the strange matter at this time. In other news...
I didn't sleep much for the next night or two. My thoughts kept going round and round, and I was very aware of the huge, strange city pressing around me. It went on for miles, millions of lives being lived all about me. 100 million rustling and creaking shapes in the night. Vince was okay. The newsman had said so. He had been in no real danger. Except I had this awful feeling of dread. At about 3 o'clock I abandoned the attempt to sleep peacefully and crept into the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea. That was always Mam's remedy. Never wanting to disturb Dad, Mam would take her insomnia into the kitchen where she would read magazines till dawn. And that was how Tricia found me when she came in from work. She was behind the bar at an all-nighter at the Karma Coffee Bar and she came in completely worn out. She looked a bit startled to see me still up, staring at the fold-out pin-ups and the Vince Cosmos holiday special.
Poppy, you're obsessed with him. You've got to stop all this.
I know it's unhealthy.
Oh, he's going to be all right. He's recovering well, they say.
But the assassin's still out there, isn't he? He got away.
That's true enough.
Oh, it's a horrible thought. What he might do next. Vince isn't safe.
Oh, come on. People like that, they can afford, like, security and bodyguards and stuff, can't they?
Well, they didn't do him much good at the Hammersmith Odeon, did they?
There are some funny people out there. Like, what's his name? I've got to tell you this. Guess who I saw tonight?
Who's what's its name?
I saw a friend of ours at Karma Coffee Bar tonight. He was sitting by himself, completely smashed.
A friend of ours?
Him upstairs, Mr. Glister. He was all hunched up at the bar on a high stool. He looked like hell. Those big droopy ears and his eyes all sticky out. Anyway, I went up to say hello to him, being a good neighbour. You'll never guess what he was saying. He was stoned and rambling, and I sidled up to the bar collecting glasses and cups. I don't think Mr. Glister even recognised me as someone who lives in the same house as him. He was just maundering on in that reedy, cracked voice of his.
Next time, he'll get it next time.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, "Hey, Mr. Glister, what are you on about?" And he looked dead shocked to be addressed by his proper name. He glared at me under those bushy eyebrows of his.
"What do you want to know about it? He's got away with it this time. This time he's all right, but sooner or later, he's had it."
Who's he on about?
I tell you who he reminded me of, slumped there at the sticky bar with his martini. He was like Rumpelstiltskin. Remember that fairy tale? The little man who'd fly off into these terrible tempers, stomping his feet and shrieking at the top of his voice. That's who Mr. Glister put me in mind of. He looked like he was on a knife's edge.
He was talking about Vince, wasn't he? He was on about what happened to Vince Cosmos.
Well, I mean, obviously, quite a lot of people are talking about the shooting of Vince Cosmos. It's not every day something like that happens. But there was something different about the way old Rumpelstiltskin from upstairs was talking. Something weird.
He's living on borrowed time. The clock is ticking for Vince Cosmos.
Oh, my God. That sounds like he knows something about it, Tricia.
Oh, well, I don't know about that. I just thought he sounded crackers. And it makes me a bit wary of him living up there, above our heads.
No, I think he's weird and he's up to something too. He's so shifty. And just the other night, I bumped into him on the stairs and he was carrying this bizarre thing.
Oh, not another silver leotard. God, do you think he wears them?
This was a kind of... what kind of a machine? Like a space-age type machine.
Whatever he's got up there, it's not right.
We found that we were both staring at the cracked artex of the ceiling above us.
What kind of space-age machine?
Well, how should I know? But it looked a bit, you know, sinister.
We've got to break in upstairs. I want to have a look at his attic lair.
We can't. It's his private room.
Oh, he's still at Karma, lying in a pool of martini. We won't get caught.
But...
look, you never heard how weird and nasty he sounded tonight. If he's keeping funny things up there, like stuff he shouldn't have, I think we should find out, put Mrs. Fairbanks onto it. She'll fling him out on his ear, and then we'll feel safe, right?
So long as you're sure it'll be safe.
He's passed out somewhere. Come on. Where's your sense of adventure, Poppy?
Okay.
Ow!
Shh! Isn't he a messy thing? There's rubbish everywhere.
Here, look. Here's all electrical components and stuff.
What on earth is all this stuff? Look. That's the thing I saw him with, all covered in buttons.
It could be in the Secret Service or something.
He could have nicked all this stuff from somewhere. I don't like it, Trish.
Yeah, and I'm sure Mrs. Fairbanks wouldn't approve of all this gubbins up here either. It's not very clean. She'll have the hygiene inspectors in.
There were maps and cuttings pinned to the walls. Raggedly torn pieces of magazines and papers were pinned up seemingly any old how, overlapping and untidy. Mr. Glister had taken a black marker pen to most of them, circling certain words and faces.
They're mostly about disappearances, and quite a few about the movements and doings of people in show business. There's one here about Vince and his new record, Bobby.
About Vince?
Yeah, there's a whole load of stuff about Vince.
Oh, my God.
I think he's really up to something. We were right.
He could just be a fan or something.
No! He's got that stuff stuck on his wall like a maniac or something would.
Oh, I really don't like this, Tricia. Now Tricia was on her knees and peering under the narrow bed.
Feels heavy.
Surely a case like this is too big for a little fella like him to manage.
Help me open it up. What are these made of?
Those leotards of his.
They're like futuristic spacesuits, aren't they?
I suppose they are.
I'll tell you something else, Poppy. There's something inside them.
What? Oh, that stinks!
Oh, what the hell?
bits of bodies. Oh, God. It's like blood and stuff.
But, Tricia, it's green.
Disgusting is what I call it. Why has he got this stuff under his bed?
Oh, I don't know. Well, let's put it all back, Tricia, like we weren't even here. Oh, no.
He's back.
What do we do? We can't sneak out now. He'll see us. You said he'd passed out in the bar.
They must have chucked him out. Oh, what do we do?
Turn the light out. Tricia pushed me towards the wardrobe and she slithered sinuously under the bed. I stepped gingerly into the wardrobe and found myself in the dark with Glister's stale and musty clothes. He'll kill us, I thought. We don't know what he's capable of.
Bloody woman. Mucking about in my room. Bloody landlady. I don't know why I put up with it. Living in a slum. Touching all my things.
Oh, God. Don't let him find us here. He sounds like he's out of his mind on Martini. Tricia, he's off to the lab. I think he's going to be sick. He was doing nasty, sicky burps.
What? Oh, God. Come on.
We staggered out of our hiding places and hurried out of there, running down the stairs to our own flat. It was like I couldn't stop breathing again until we were safely back home. Dawn was breaking over London and streaming through the orange curtains of the living room. I could smell the heavy, stale smell of Glister's room in me hair, and that tang of the weird, fleshy spacesuits and their horrid contents lingered in me imagination.
What is he up to? What have we uncovered, Poppy?
A few tense days went by as we all waited to hear about Vince's recovery in hospital. Life returned to relative normal, and I carried on thinking about getting a job. About getting myself out there and finding myself a place in what my old careers teacher used to call the world of work. Oh, I hated it when he called it that. At home, I was careful to stay out of the way of that weird dwarf in the attic, and he came and went, grumbling and muttering to himself. Before we knew it, weeks had gone by. Vince was out of hospital, and he was well. He had made an amazing recovery. I stood in the newsagents reading Muzak Maker. They were running an exclusive interview with him, the very first since he'd been let out of hospital.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fighting fit at full strength, you know, man? I'm brimming with new ideas, musical ideas and, like, imagery, you know. So something maybe happened to me, being shot like that, grazing my temple. It shook me up. I was nearly in a coma, you know? That's what they told me. And those altered states of mind could get pretty weird, you know? So, yeah, I've been shook up, but I'm not frightened, I'm not deterred. I've been writing down my new ideas, doing some new songs, yeah, and drawing my new costume concepts for the tour, right? I think it's going to be kind of a blend between Renaissance style with a bit of samurai thrown in there, but all with a kind of sci-fi bent, and that is what I'll be wearing on tour this time because, yeah, of course, the tour is going ahead, man.
And then something amazing happened. Tricia was cooking our tea that night. Something she called one of our pasta specials.
Look at this, olive oil, no expense spared. Here, grate some cheese.
Just as we were about to eat, Gilda from downstairs turned up in her house coat with her hair up in rollers.
I meant to tell you earlier, love, but I was doing my beauty regime. Your mother phoned this afternoon, dear, while you were at work. She wouldn't leave a message. She says it's too exciting, the news she's got for you. She wants to talk to you in person.
My mum hates the phone. She'll only ever use it in emergencies.
I'm sure it's nothing bad.
Oh, she'd have told me if it was. No, this is something good. You believe me. Ooh, what's that you're cooking, dear?
Penny pasta with arrabbiata sauce?
Oh, beans on toast we had. Mr. Fairbanks isn't very adventurous, as you can imagine. Oh, maybe we should give you some privacy, dear.
No. I want you and Tricia here. When I'm nervous, I like to have people around me. Hello?
Hey, Poppy. Hello, love.
What is it, Mum? Mrs. Fairbanks said you wanted to tell me something. News, she said, and...
I hope you don't mind, Poppy, love, but we... Your dad and I, we opened the letter when we saw that it come from London. We thought it might be something important.
What? A letter? Well, why didn't it come here?
It was ever such fancy stationery. The letter is all edged in gold. Anyway, you've won, Poppy. You've won top prize.
What in?
What's she saying? Why's your mother shrieking like that?
But I've never gone in for any prizes. Have I? Unless... No. It can't be. Mum, tell me slowly. Tell me again.
It's a magazine competition. Do you remember? It was months ago now.
It was in my mum's weekly mag, not even a pop mag. And the answers had been laughably easy. Any fan of Vince's would have known them. I almost didn't even fill it in, but my mum egged us on. Anyway, sending off the envelope months ago, I knew the chances of winning were incredibly slim. But the prize had been... Oh, God. I suddenly remembered. VIP treatment at the launch party of Vince Cosmos's new album, Galactic Cinders. Mum read out the letter from the magazine once more, very clearly, word by word. There could be no doubt. I'd won the prize. I was going to be a VIP. I was going to be presented to Vince himself.
What is it? What have you won?
Oh, she's gone a funny colour.
But maybe it's all off. He's only just out of hospital.
Poppy, what are you on about?
There was something too perfect about this. Life wasn't like this. Was it?
Are you pleased? I thought you'd be cock-a-hoop. He's your favourite, isn't he? I thought you'd sound more excited.
I am. I just... I'm scared as well. I've got nothing to wear. I won't know what to say to him.
Knock at Cinderella. You'll think of something, love. We've heard you talk about nothing other than Vince Cosmos for the past year.
And then, suddenly Mam was gone. Off to watch some kind of wildlife documentary with Dad. About foxes, I think. And I put down the phone and explained to Trisha and Gilda exactly what I'd gone and won.
Oh, no,
I just knew I was on the brink of all this marvellous stuff that was about to happen to me. I was going to meet Vince Cosmos at last. And goodness knows what could come of that. But something would. All of this, all of it, was happening to me for a reason. I just knew it. It felt like ages, but it was just a few days until the party. They went by in a blur, and on the day itself I was up at the crack of dawn getting myself dressed up. And then all of a sudden, there was a golden limousine waiting for me, ready to whisk me away to a world of incredible glamour. And here was Vince Cosmos's actual manager, Arthur Collins, puffing away on a cigar and talking and grinning, helping me into the back seat. And soon we were rushing through the city and I was peering at all the buildings through tinted windows.
Well, Poppy Monday, did you ever think you'd be attending the launch of Galactic Cinders, the new album by Vince Cosmos?
No, never, Mr. Collins.
Oh, please, please call me Arthur, my dear. We don't stand on ceremony.
I thought I'd be queuing up in W.H. Smith's just like every other fan.
And here you are. This is the life, eh, Poppy? Or at least it will be when we actually get to the Savoy. Come on, driver, we haven't got all day. We've got a swanky reception to attend, haven't we, Poppy?
Yeah, that's right, Arthur. It turns out there were 20 of us girls who'd won the competition in my mum's weekly mag. We'd all answered the Vince Cosmos trivia questions correctly, and we'd all come up with amusing continuations, in 25 words or less, of the sentence, "If I met Vince Cosmos in person at a fancy party in London, I would..." dot dot dot. They plied us all with delicious space-age cocktails and whipped us into a frenzy.
None of those other girls are as pretty as you, Poppy Monday.
Oh, well, thanks, Arthur.
I think Vince will be most interested in you when he eventually shows up.
Oh, I've got to go to the loo. Nerves.
It's back where we came in, on the lift.
As I hurried off to the lav, I was thinking that I was about to be in the very presence of my rock and roll god. It was such a posh place. There was a glamorous young woman wearing a kind of Barbarella outfit, giving out perfume samples in the bathroom. Oh, thanks. That's an interesting scent. But when I looked into the woman's face, I was horrified. Her eyes were completely silver. I guess they were contact lenses or something, but I was out of there in a flash. And then I received an even bigger surprise. Because over there, in the crowd of milling fans, there was a cross-looking face I knew only too well. There was a diminutive form scuttling about in the crowd. It was Mr. Glister? The dwarf from upstairs? Oh, but perhaps I was seeing things. I was so strung out with excitement. But then thoughts of grumpy dwarves were pushed out of my mind because just then, Vince Cosmos himself was making his entrance. And there he was, on a podium, in a silver jumpsuit with angel wings and his hair backcombed and dyed bright blue. We were getting a glimpse of his brand new look.
Thank you all so much for coming to my party. So good to be back. I'm feeling fit, raring to go. Honestly, I'm completely recovered from my near-death experience, and I'm delighted to be back with you all again. Welcome to this reception, and I hope you all take with you a goodie bag containing various Vince Cosmos branded cosmetics. That's a new line we're branching into. A new set of glossy 10x8s, a poster of yours truly from the album cover of my new release, Galactic Cinders. And of course, an exclusive 8-track cassette containing a preview of my new opus. Truly hope you will enjoy my new songs, everyone. They took some doing. I feel like I've clawed them out of the very fabric of the galaxy and filched them from under the watchful eye of the cosmic godhead, you know.
Of course, he was completely mobbed. The others were a lot more pushy and grabby than me.
Hey, ladies, take turns. There's enough for me to go around, you know. Cool it, eh? You're all winners, you know. You all got to be here. I've got enough time to devote to you all.
I sort of hung back near the bar, picking excitedly at the canopies.
Vince wants to see you now, Poppy.
Me? Oh, hang on. I've got a gobble of Ollivant.
He's most intrigued by you. He said, bring her over, Arthur. Let me talk to her.
No.
He's on the sofa by the French windows. Look, we managed to get the others to leave him alone for a bit.
I was led across the suite in a kind of daze. The plush carpet was almost as deep as my high-heeled boots, and I had to concentrate on not falling flat on my face. But I had gone a bit floppy all over as I approached him. He turned his head, and we looked at each other. Eye to eye. Oh, he had the most fantastic makeup on, like golden flames shooting out of his face.
This is the girl I was telling you about, the girl you're dying to meet, Vince.
Oh, yeah, of course. You're Poppy Monday, aren't you?
You know my name?
You started up a fan club, I believe. South Shields chapter.
But that was only me and my friend Annette. It was just a game.
I get to hear about everything, Poppy. You'd be surprised at the things I know.
Yes, I'm sure I would.
So tell me, which is your favourite record of mine?
I've got so many favourites, really. The early stuff, maybe. A Kaleidoscope Lover, perhaps.
But my more recent work has been more challenging, hasn't it? As well as more commercial?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been marvellous.
I'm very glad you're here, Poppy.
Oh, I can't tell you what it means to me. And well, to see you well again, after they tried to shoot you.
Some people say that I brought it on myself.
No. Who says that?
Well, some people do.
You just tell the truth about the world as you see it and about love.
Yeah, that's right. The truth as I see it. You'll only ever hear the truth through these lips of mine, Poppy.
Your lips.
Vince has got a proposition for you, Poppy.
What?
Let me explain, Poppy. Come closer.
Amazed as I was by his words, I was also a bit distracted just then. Someone was pushing a hostess trolley towards us. A young man in a crisp white shirt was bringing us a selection of desserts, and he was interrupting our conversation.
Do you mind? We don't want any desserts, thank you.
I happened to look up into the young man's face, and I saw that his eyes were all glittering silver.
What the hell's going on?
Vince, get down!